Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to learn from Dr. Lightman how to make our life as safe as possible. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, in Judaism, there are different customs and symbols that it's common to see as means that protect the person, like the mezuzah that protects the person and his home, and the prayers, like the prayers that we pray, the traveler's prayer, the home blessing, the business blessing, things that are supposed to protect us. Psalms, keeping the Shabbat, that the Shabbat protects the person. And on this show, we'd like to examine whether these means really protect us and what is it about each of these means that really does it, that protects us and our life. And I'd like to open with a question. Are there really such means that protect a person from life's uncertainties, that protect them from danger and direct them to good? No more than an inner feeling that softens a person, soothes them, gives them a certain sense of security, meaning it's only something psychological. It does not influence any of the occurrences of life in any way. What am I basing this on? Mezuzah, tefillin, talit, all the different religious or non-religious forms that we can talk about, we see it all from Abraham. What did he do? What did Abraham do? He broke all the idols, all of them, meaning all the external symbols that can influence our destiny. He broke them. This is actually the beginning of his spiritual path. Therefore, everything that a person has today, that he believes in different objects, external actions, it is all idolatry. Still, I'd like to start with the mezuzah. These are signs. There are other things about this, that what we do, according to Judaism, it's not in order to give us a sense of security that if I kiss the mezuzah, everything's going to be fine. That's untrue. Why did the sages make it so for the masses? So I won't forget that I'll be more connected to Judaism and all these things, but it's not that by this I change my destiny. Not to forget what? Not to forget about connection with others, the mitzvot, the Torah, all those things that belong to the people of Israel, but that I throw a shekel into a box, into a charity box before I step on the bus so the bus won't explode, that's idolatry. Because I'm disconnected from the Creator, and by that shekel, Israeli currency, I buy a good attitude towards myself. That's gross. But depending for whom? For the masses, for the populace, we have to go down to their level nonetheless. For them, it's good. It's not the matter of the shekel that he gives to someone or to something. That's not important. What's important is that by that, he's connected to a system of people nonetheless and so on. There are positive things about it. I'm not making fun of it. I'm not disregarding it. On the one hand, it's worthwhile doing. On the other hand, everything that is good on this level, towards a higher level of development, is considered idolatry. I want to talk about Jewish symbols. The mezuzah. I'll even say about myself as a secular person. This doesn't only apply to religious people. It was important for me when I moved to my new home to put up mezuzahs. Even my husband, he chose very special parchments, klafim, that go inside the mezuzah so that it will all be kosher and so on. And there is a sentence that says in the Midrash, a home that has a mezuzah is protected by the Creator. What is it about the mezuzah? And is there maybe something more internal about it that does protect those inside the house? No, and nothing. Not even on a deeper level? On a deeper level, of course not. But on the external level, psychologically wise, it gives a person a sense of security, a better feeling, more comfortable. What is man, all in all? You're a psychologist. You know that it's important for a person. A person lives his life, and this way he calms himself down, like a sedative. But that's it. If a person really wants to be protected under the upper force, he has to study the upper force, he has to be connected with the upper force, he has to know what and how does he do in order to correctly keep the desire of the upper force. It's not that what the person wants, but in accordance with the purpose of creation, the purpose of the entire system. What does he have to do? And if he'll do it, certainly he will be favorable in the eyes of the upper system, called the Creator, and this way he will promise himself a good, nice, and quick advancement. So if I understand what you're saying, there are two levels of connection. There's the fundamental level for the masses, where a person doesn't connect with anything, but he works instinctively. He's being operated from above, and he always responds instinctively, according to what comes from nature. What does it mean that he's operated from above? I don't know. I got a prick. Ouch! The prick comes from above, and my instinctive response comes from beneath, from myself. Oi! This is how we're operated all the time. So there's a system that's operating us in any given moment, at any given moment. Yes, there's an endless amount of strings pulling each and every one of us, and this is how we exist inside the system. And there's a higher level that no longer pertains to the masses, but it speaks about a connection, which is a connection with the upper force. Yes. And you say that for this, there's no need for any external objects, but it's an inner process that a person goes through. Right. Still, many times I hear you say that there is a connection between all the things that exist in our world and certainly the Jewish symbols. They have a certain root and branch, which is much deeper, but not that they work this way. That if I take a mezuzah, then there is an upper force in it. God forbid, no. But it points at a certain upper force that by the symbols of the mezuzah I can say, what is the klaf, what is the writing, what is the text itself, and the way it's written, and who wrote it, and so on. By this, from this, I can learn about the source, the upper source of the mezuzah, that there is a special force in nature called mezuzah, and this force protects the home. The home is called the soul. So there is the soul, and there is the mezuzah in the soul, and this is how I learn these things, but not that it's in my house, and there's the mezuzah, and it's holy, but what it points at in the spiritual world, at the special role of the Creator that the Creator has over the souls, that's called holy. In this world, there's nothing holy. So we learned that our home is the soul. You're saying that it actually tells us about certain parts in the spiritual world. The physical mezuzah tells us about much deeper things that exist in the spiritual world. It's only a sign. It has no connection to the spiritual world. A sign for what? A sign that if I build my soul, I build it under a special protection called mezuzah. What does it mean to build the soul? To build the soul, it means that I have to restrict my desire, put a masach screen over it, and oh, chozer, reflected light. What are all these things? These are corrections. And with my desire, I have to connect to at least 9 other people for us to be 10 together, a minyan, a congregation of 10, and through our correct connection, we build a soul, a home. The soul is as if a man's home. Suppose. And what is the klaf, the parchment inside the mezuzah? This parchment is against the upper white light. And what does that white light do, and how is it related to the soul? The parchment is inside the soul, the upper light. and what is its role in the spiritual system. The upper light enlivens everything. I want to put things in the right order. You can't arrange these things. You'll only get confused. We can't learn anything this way, and this approach is incorrect. It won't give you anything. Everyone will come out confused. So can you arrange these things for us? I don't want to talk in this direction at all, because for this we have to open up many, many things and to gradually approach them. Okay, so maybe I'll ask the simple question. Why does it suddenly talk about a home, a mezuzah? I'm saying that all the symbols in this world are only symbols. And Abraham, he explains that he burned and broke all of these signs, these symbols. Why? Because people related upper forces to these signs. They bowed to them. I can't turn to the mezuzah, kiss it, and say, I kiss it because there is an upper force in it, and now the upper force is protecting me, thanks to the fact that I bought it and that I'm kissing it now. There are people that say that kissing the mezuzah is idolatry, right? So my question isn't even about that. My question is simple. As a Jew, I'm commanded to put up a mezuzah on my doorpost. Why? In order for you to have a sign for all the spiritual actions that are also partially related to this action called mezuzah. Take the writings of the Ari, Shar HaKavanot, the Gate of Intentions, and start learning from there what a mezuzah is, in order for me to have a symbol for the spiritual actions that I have to perform, and only. These words, spiritual actions that I have to perform, what is that? These are actions of connection between people above their individual egos, where by that connection, they can form a place for the revelation of the upper force, the force of bestowal, the force of love, for it to dwell among them. What you just said, that's considered to perform a spiritual action? Yes. So to perform a spiritual action is to connect with other people above my individual ego in a way of love. Yes. If I did that, that's considered spiritual? Yes. And it's the strongest and best action. Okay. If I do this, and I understand that it's my relation towards other people, right? By this I operate, activate something that protects me. Of course. But then you won't be thinking that it's protecting you, because you're already activating the force of love towards others. Your entire inclination is to help others, live in them, provide them with all they need. This is what it means to love others. You have a chair, you have a pillow, you give it to the other. And this will protect me in life? Yes, that's all there is. And this is what the previously said, that the mezuzah is a symbol for spiritual actions that you have to perform, and there is a special force in nature called mezuzah, and it will protect your soul, right? Yes. So please explain this with relation to what you just said. If I want to operate this force called mezuzah for it to protect my soul, what do I have to do? It's in order to remind you, as it says, when you go to sleep and when you wake up, meaning that I remind myself by different daily actions in each and every moment through different things which Judaism presents me with, and let's call it burdens me with, to give blessings and different actions and to keep kosherness and the mikveh, the different prayers, a thousand different things. It said that Judaism is truly a murderous religion. I talked to representatives of other religions, and they say, how do you live your life? We don't know. So what's the goal of all of it? To remind us to all the time be connected to the upper force. You said that the connection between people, two things. First of all, that the connection between people is what eventually brings the force of love and leads to being protected. What's the connection between the force of love and that eventually I'll feel some kind of providence in this world, that someone's watching over me? Love another as thyself is the great rule of the Torah, meaning it is the peak of human development. The peak of human development. There's nothing beyond that. Why? Because this way I'm included inside the other, and I do everything that the other needs. And this is the law of the integral system, that this is how all of its components have to be connected. But how does it protect me? So there's no to protect. By this, I sustain, I keep the integral system, and I'm a component in it. So of course it protects me. I can never protect myself. I keep myself by correctly connecting with others. Why? Because I'm connected with them. But why does that protect you? You're correctly connected to the system. This I understand. But I'm nourished by them. They actually form all of my states. Them? Yes, because I'm connected with them. Imagine that I'm interconnected with many, many people. Now, if these connections won't be good, I suffer to the point I want to die. If I'll make these connections good, on my part, the upper force that's operating inside the system, even if the other people that I'm doing good things towards them, and even if to begin with they're incapable and they're not directed at doing good things in return, but the upper force is operating inside the system and will direct them to correctly behave towards me. How will I know that I'm working towards others in a good way? Because that force is fulfilling the system and I'm in unison with that force, in the same direction with it. By this, I become like the upper force by trying to love others. Who's going to tell the force about that? It's inside the system. No one has to, because that force is operating on me, and I, as much as I can, want to become like it in return. And what does it have to do with protection? Because by that, I operate the upper protection. I become like the upper force. What could be safer than that? I, by that, as if enter the upper womb. What place can be safer? So that force will protect me? For sure, I determine that. When I become like it, I cancel myself. I cancel my ego. What do you mean to cancel the ego? I stop exploiting others for my own benefit? Yeah, I don't think about myself, but I only work according to the desire of the others. Then by that, I perform an action where I resemble the upper and enter the upper in a minimum way. And that means that's considered that I'm already inside it, like an embryo inside his mother's womb. And what can be safer than that? So where's the mezuzah in all of this? You said that it symbolizes something that protects the soul. The mezuzah symbolizes Havaya, Yud Ke Vav Ke. There are four parts to it, which symbolize the upper system, where a person that wants to resemble the Creator, he's included in that system of the complete Havaya. This is his home, this is his womb, and this is how he develops. What is the system of Havaya that the mezuzah symbolizes? It is the attitude of the Creator towards us, which is what? An attitude that includes all the forces, all the rules, a good attitude, where I, by my love towards others, I equalize with the Creator's love towards others, and in that we're together, we hug with each other. Why isn't he hugging me now? Because you're not in equivalence with him. What are you? You disrespect him, you're opposite to him, you're unwanted. Who's he? The general force of the system. Nature. Nature. And what does he have to do with the love you talked about? Because he relates to everyone with love, this force. So why doesn't he protect everyone? He does. Only his goal is to bring everyone to get to know him, so everyone will discover him, identify with him. Why? Because by this, they are no longer operated, not understanding anything about life, but they rise to a higher, perfect and eternal level. Still, I don't understand, why is it customary to put a mezuzah on the doorpost in Judaism? In order to remind us that there is an upper force that you depend on, that you have to identify with, that you have to perform the same actions as he does. To identify with him, this is what it's about. What does it mean? To be like him, as he is merciful, so are you. And so on. It says so. So this is where the matter of love comes from, that you're saying that I have to love like he does. Yeah. Everything's interconnected. Don't worry. It's really, eventually, very simple. Simple? Yeah. Okay, so eventually the mezuzah represents a certain force of love and connection, and so does each and every corporeal mitzvah. It points at the need to perform it spiritually, internally wise. You're saying that what you just explained about the mezuzah actually pertains to everything that we know about Judaism. There is no action in a person's life that he can simply do it without any goal, without the connection with upper force, but it's preferable for him to do it only in order to identify, to connect with the upper force, to become like the upper force, because that nears him to the revelation. What you talked about, that has to do with a person's day-to-day life? Of course. What does it have to do with a person's day-to-day life? This I don't understand. I wake up in the morning, I send my kids off to school, I come back from work, I make sure that my boss doesn't kill me at work, this, that, see my wife in the evening, make sure that the kids are happy, that everyone's fine, that I'll sleep a good sleep and not get ulcer. How does this repeating schedule with success and the failures and the achievements and the this and that, how does all this have to do with identifying with the upper force? You said that this will protect you in life. What does it have to do with life altogether? Where does it fit in a person's schedule? You used to keep the orders of the upper force, unknowingly, unconsciously, without knowing who's operating you. You simply ran around, and that's it. Like my grandchild has this toy railway station, and he operates it with a remote control. Yeah. And inside the train, you have a small monkey sitting inside there, an elephant, and so on. So this is how we are operated. Me. Yeah. And you're running and doing, and it seems to you that you're doing everything. Why are you operated this way? That's the matter of the concealment. If you'll start feeling who's operating you and what for and why, and how can I identify with everything that he takes me through, then you'll start feeling that you're not simply operated, but specifically by identifying with these actions, you can attain the one that's operating you, and then by that you start seeing your life from his level, and then in each and every action that you perform, by it you want to get in touch with the operator. Can you give me an example? I told you what my day-to-day life looks like. What can I ascribe it with, what you're talking about? In each and every moment, to whatever you do. What am I supposed to do each and every moment? I mean, besides my life, is there something else that I have to do? Yes, inner work. What is inner work? Inner work, it means that everything that you do in life is in order to discover the upper force that's operating you. And then, in each and every moment, you start feeling how it's operating. It's not simply so. Just because you heard about it, then that's it. From this moment and on, that's how it is. But you have to advance towards it by the group, by studying, by getting to know the system. It takes a few years. Okay, so let's get back to the protection. A person feels very uncertain in life. Today, people really feel that I have no idea what's going to happen the next moment. But it doesn't matter. The main thing for me is to be in connection, in adhesion with the operator. What do I care? What does he do? I don't mind the next moment. The main thing is not to part with him. And this kind of approach protects me. It gives you an anchor in life, and you don't need anything besides that, because you are cleaved on to the upper mind. Were I to tell you, look, today they're selling insurances for everything. I have an insurance for everything in life. I want to buy the general policy that will give me the best kind of protection. What is it? It is the connection with the upper force. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah offers a person. It is the best possible insurance company that includes everything. And what about someone who's not religious? It has nothing to do with religion. What then? It has to do with the desire to come to know the operating force. I don't even call that force God or the Creator, in order not to confuse people. Where can I find that force? It's operating me. You can find that force inside our heart by studying the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's not simple. It takes time. Our time's up. Dr. Lightman, in conclusion, know the Creator, your God, and serve Him. We'll sleep on it, and we'll talk about it next time. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.